Now, Ruthie, you've heard this before. I'm going to try to quickly go over what we the beginning of what we said before. And this is the end of Devin's life. He's 69 years old. He's going to die on his 70th birthday. We know that. He doesn't know that. We know that. And he's getting everyone together because he's going to say, Shlomo is going to be the king. And here are the plans for the Beit HaMikdash. I want to build it. I really want to build it. And this is Dibra Yamim Perk Chavka. Israel, David got together all of the leaders of Israel, Shvatim, leaders of the tribes, Machlakot, Mashartim Melech, the leaders of all the rotations of Levim, Kohanim, Gibarim, who would serve him, Israel Fim, Israel Meot, the judicial system, Sarei Kol Rechushim, Melech, all of the ministers of all of the property and the cattle and the minerals and all that. Banav and his sons, Sarisim, Vagibarim, and all the other bureaucrats, called Yibor Chayil, Yerushalayim. Yakam David al Melech al Raglav, and David gets up, which is a big deal because he's weak. You know, he's been bedridden for a long time. Vimashmi, Achiva, Achai, Ami, listen to me, my brothers, my people. Anim Levavi, Livnot, Beit Menuchala, Ron Brit Hashem. I wanted to build a house, a place for the Aaron to rest. It's been wandering for all these centuries. I want to build a permanent place for it. La'dom ragli elokeinu, the footstool for our God. Achinoti livnot, and I prepared to build it. And then Elokim amar li lo tibneh bayit lishmi. Hashem said, no, you're not going to build it. And we know that. And then he talks about the reasons why. We've talked about that. And then Pasuk Yud, Re'eh atah, so now you need to see. Ki Hashem bachar bachad. Telling Shlomo, God's chosen you. A house to be the holy thing. Mikdash is PL. That is to be sanctified. This is the first time it's called a Beit Mikdash or anything similar to that. The Mikdash, the Ohel, that's what it's called. It's a Beit LeMikdash. Chazak b'yaseh, you need to be strong and you need to do it. We talked about the fact that Mikdash is an appeal. It's an active, it has to be made holy. It's not a holy house, it's what people do with it makes it holy. And the first time that term is used is in Shirat HaYam in Parashat Bishalach, when Bnei Israel are just leaving Egypt. They're looking forward to going into the land, and they say to the Emov Bahar Nachlatcha. That's source nine. Plant them, bring them, and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance. Machon L'Shivtachah Hashem. You have prepared the place for your dwelling. Mikdash. That's that word. That which has been made holy, Mikdash Hashem, Karidecha, that have been sanctified for you, God, your hands have prepared. And the Gemara on that says, Yadecha is plural. That means something. Source 10, Darsh Bar HaKappa. Gedolim Maaseh Tzedakim Yoter Maaseh Shemayim Ba'aretz. The works of the righteous are greater than creation itself. Deal with Maaseh Shemayim Ba'aretz K'tiv, that when it's talking about creation, Yeshaya says, Af Yadi Yesada Ba'aretz. My hand, that's singular, planted the world, established the world. Meaning my right hand, Tifchashmaim spread out the skies. We must say dehem chel tzadikim, but in terms of what tzadikim do, what people do, with a maaseh tzadikim, it says mechon shivcha paat Hashem, mikdash Hashem kanu yadecha. It's plural. So the Kli Ha'aretz says, wait a minute, that's yadecha is talking about God's hands, whatever that means, plural there. And it says, no, that's really what it means, that Yadecha is saying that's a partnership. Yadecha is plural. It's Yad Hashem, and then Maaseh Tzadikim, the actions of human beings. That is the Mikdash. The house just represents that. And now we just heard this probably the third time now, talk about that, the fact that it's called the Hadom Regel. That's what David says, that this is the footstool of God. What does that mean? We've heard that before. Famous pasuk from Yeshaya: "Komar Hashem, Hashemayim Kisi, the heavens are my throne, Ba'aretz Hadam Raglai, and the earth is my footrest." Ottoman. It's a bayit asher tibnu li. So you can't build a house for me. As a menucha, you can't build a menucha. But still, David is going to do this. But what is that? What does it mean to say that the Beit Hamikdash, or the whole world, is Hashem's Hadam Regel? The first time we see that idea of God's feet, as it were, resting. It was from a
Okay.
very weird story that was part of Mamre Har Sinai. We're heading toward Shavuos now.
I know what you're gonna say.
What am I going to say?
Story related to Korah.
No.
Oh, never mind.
It's a story. I mean, it's okay. This is the end of Parsha Mishpatim. Okay? You should know this. Okay? This is what it says. Moshe Amar. And Moshe had been told. So Mishpatim is actually after Mamre Har Sinai, but this is something that happened beforehand. Alei al Hashem, you need to go up to God. You're going to go up the mountain. Atah ba'aron Nadav v'Avihu, you and Aaron and his two sons, v'shivim zikne Israel, and 70 elders. Yishtachavim, and you'll bow down far away. Moshe v'nigash Moshe l'vado al Hashem, and Moshe is going to go all the way up into onto the top of the mountain. Yigashu, but they're not going to go. Amlo, the rest of the people aren't going to go there at all. Okay, so before Moshe goes up to Har Sinai, we've got this chance for the leaders, for Aaron and Zakenim, to go up the mountain with Moshe. Moshe Israel, and they all go up the mountain. This is the 4th day, so 3 days before actual Matan Torah. And it says, "By Yura et Elokei Israel," and they saw God. Raglav Sapir, and under his feet was a brick of sapphire, as pure as the sky. Now, what do you do with this thing?
I thought you were going to talk about Korah.
What?
That's why I thought you were going to talk about Korah, because there was that whole thing with Korah saying, if all of our palace was Tehillah, will we still need to do that Tzitzit thing
Yeah, that's.
ring
Okay,
of
that's
the
part of the message that they all got to go see that Moshe, right? Moshe's not special here. That's part of the message why they do this. But I want to look at what they say, right? They see God, right? Which obviously doesn't happen. We're not corporeally us. We don't think that God's got a body there. Rambam said you're a heretic if you do that. So we're not. So what do you do with it? By Yeru, they saw God, and under his legs was a brick of sapphire. We're not going to take that literally. It's a symbol. If you take it literally, I'm going to send Una, the bugbear of metaphor writers, after you. So that's Una, the bugbear. It says that these are not real places. This is word picture for making understanding. And now you know what kind of person I am, but that's the kind of comment I read. It's a Dungeons and Dragons comment. But it's a word picture for making understanding. I like that. We're trying to, so they have this experience of something divine that brains translate into real images. And involves God up in heaven, the brick of sapphire. And you look at all of Nevi'im, lots of Nevi'im have this kind of vision of God on a throne up in heaven. The one that's most similar to is the one of Yechezkel, which is the Haftorah for Shavuot, which most of what we focus on is all the vision of the Chayot, the Kruvim, all the animals, but it continues. So this is Yechezkel's vision of the same idea as this vision of the Zakenim. 30th years of the exile, 4th month, 5th day. I'm in exile on Nahar Kabar, on the banks of the river. The heavens opened up, I saw these visions of God. And then it goes on to all those visions of the Kruvim and the Ochanim and all that. And above these creatures, I saw Rakia, I saw the sky, like awful ice. So Yechezkel is looking up, he sees this vision of Chayot, which are the Kruvim, and he can't see through it, but there's a translucent layer there that's hanging over their heads. And he looks through this Kerach Nora. And above the firm, above the sky, Ashel Rashahem, that's over the heads, Kamara Evan Sapir Demukise. It's this sapphire stone that looks like a chair, a throne. While the mutakise, and above this image of this form of the throne, the mut kamare adam alav mala, a person standing up on it. Right, same thing. He's seeing God sitting on the throne of Sapir. And kamare kesha sher yeb anan biyamagesha, kamare hanoga saviv. And surrounding all of this was a glow, a noga, that was like the appearance of a rainbow on a rainy day.
Isn't Nova Venus?
Noga is the term for Venus, yeah. But in
Okay.
general, it just means a shine.
Okay.
You shine, right? That was the again, the aura around there was of a rainbow. Umare Dmut Kvod Hashem, and that's what Kvod Hashem looked like, the glory of God.
It looked like a rainbow.
Looked like it was a rainbow. Surrounding this kisei was a noga that was like a keshet, was a glowing rainbow.
So it's not
The
always negative then.
rainbow is not inherently negative.
Because sometimes you hear about it because it reminds God of the whole thing of the flood and the sin.
Right. So there's that. So that's the idea that you have to look at rainbows because if you need a rainbow, then something was happening. This is not claiming that. And we're not claiming this is an actual rainbow. Remember, this is all a vision here. You're not taking this literally.
Okay.
Okay. But we have to understand what's this, what's Kvod Hashem, what's the Keshet, what's the rainbow, what's the throne of sapphire, all of that. And I look, I pull up Hanai, and I fall on my face, and I hear the voice, and he says, etc. So we have this image of God on the throne. Both the Kanaim and Yechezkel see that, but Yechezkel sees this Mare Adam through this Kerach Nara, through this translucent layer. The Kanaim are much closer. They go up there. They have a much clearer vision. And the other big difference is that Yechezkel sees this sapir, this sapphire, as an Eben sapir, a rock. The Kanaim see it as a sapir, as a brick. Yechezkel sees it as a kisei. The Kanaim see it, the tachat raglav, the hadom regel, the footstool. So the Malbim tries to understand this. What is this trying to tell us? Why do we have these word pictures here? What am I doing with all that? Am I going to connect that back to the Beit HaMikdash as the Hadom Regel? So this is the Malbim looking at the story with this account. Throughout the Kisei, Kamara Eben Sapir, Komarot. So first of all, it was made out of the Sapir, which basically takes in all, which can accept all light, the Derech Sefirit, Olam HaKisei Hisig, the Chazeh Shefa Hayaredet Melakut, and they see how it spread out into the world. It says Kavod Hashem, so is a term for how God manifests in the world. Asher, that's the Elakut Asher Ba'atzilut. A little Kabbalistic, it's the so this the Shefa, the way that God influences the world, in the Olam Atzilut, which is the closest to God. It's got to spread out into the world. And it spreads out b'sheva gvanei hakeshet, in the seven colors of the rainbow. As it says, upon hakeshet. And so that this sapphire, which I'll translate as sapphire, not clear exactly how to translate it, is a prism. The image of God's light, and it separates in all these different kind, ways of looking at it. That's what the idea of the spectrum is. It's in fact why there are seven colors of the spectrum because of the seven sefirot. Newton was a Kabbalist.
Who was a Kabbalist?
Isaac Newton.
Ah,
He really
I didn't
believed
know
it. Yeah, so that, just in terms of dividing up the spectrum of the rainbow, it's not like there's some absolute lines that says Roy G. Biv, right? He just picked those colors so there were never seven of them. But
that.
he says, Mikra Eben Sapir is called the Sapir Al Shema Sfirit, Al Shem Shemoshecha Koach, Sfirot Shomala. These are the Kabbalistic Sfirot that we God the way God manifests in the world.
So it also like represents all the color in the universe, basically.
And that's, but specifically in terms of Sfirot, it's how Hashem is manifested in the world, right? The idea of Chesed and Din, these ways we experience God in the world. So that's what the sapir does. It takes this with divine light, when Hashem acts, and we experience it in all these various different ways. The kisei kavod is this prism with an M. That's the surrounding glow there. That's the Malbim's way to look at it. And the other difference is that there are two parts of that. There's a kisei, which is an Eben, and there's the Hadom Regel, which is a levina, a brick. I said, Malbim says that's different. They say, K'masei levina. They see the brick of sapphire. What's more, Masha'ar Cheskel, K'mara Eben Sapir, Mukisei. This is what Cheskel saw, the throne made out of stone. Chesed saw the stone, behem ra'u kamasei livna, and they saw it as a brick. Jesh hevdel ben evin livna, between a rock and a brick. She'evin mitaveh b'teva. The stone idea is nature. That's natural. It's not man-made. Okay, God manifests in the universe. That's the kisei, that's the shamayim, that's the heavenly way of looking at it. God manifests in the world in all these ways. But a brick is different. Brick is made by human beings. Musim b'chomer that are stuck in the physical world. So Ba'esha was a Kenim at Temrakavas. When the Kenim saw this vision of the holy of the heavenly throne, I say Ta Haghana Bederach Hanisi. It was a miraculous way of looking at God. Shofet me Olam Hakisei v'fi Masa Ador. That's the Masa Tzadikim. So basically, that the Hadom Regal is that same prism. It's how God manifests in the world in all the various ways, but as made by human beings. It's our actions that serve as the way Hashem manifests. So we talk about the Sefirat HaOmer, where we improve all these different characteristics. We go through these seven weeks, and Hashem manifests in all these seven Sefirot, and we do that too.
Thanks for reminding me of that count after we're done. Go on.
I'm sorry?
I'm glad you reminded me after count after we're done.
Don't forget to count the Omer here. Right, but that's the idea, is that part of the way of the Kavod Hashem, the way Hashem manifests the world, is through our actions. And that's what the Hadom Regel represents. It's the man-made part of the Kisei HaKavod. Okay, Ruli Matzah Sapir, Shalavayna, Naseh Al Yidei Bnei Adam. That's what they saw. The brick sapphire, which is made by human beings. So the Mikdash is made by Maaseh Tzadikim, it's Maaseh Bnei Adam, and that's why the Beit HaMikdash really is supposed to be that representative of the Hadom Regel. Not holy in and of itself, it is what we make of it. It's a symbol of our doing chesed, our having rachamim, our manifesting din, all those things that manifest in the world. And so that's how Yadav described it. He wants to build this Hadom Regel for Hashem, but he can't do it. God told him no. So he gives the plans to Shlomo. So now continuing back in Divrei Yemen. Vayitein David l'Shlomo b'no et tavnit ha'olam. So David gives Shlomo the plans for the whole hall of the Beitav v'giznach, v'gezachav, ginzachav, and all the chambers, the rooms, and all the storehouses, v'elitav, and the second floor, v'chedrav, and the rooms, v'mimim, and the inner rooms, v'beit ha'kaporet, and the place where the kaporet is kept. And he goes through in a great detail, and he ends, v'kol v'chtav miyad Hashem. All of this was written down from God. Alai haskiel, that it says, it's for me to figure out kol melachot hatavnit, everything that's involved in making this building. David's giving him all the plans, all written out. And I will continue. That was my Photoshop attempt at what the Kisei HaKavod looks like.
The rainbow. Where did you find this picture?
I kind of try to Photoshop together. There's your brick of sapphire. The rest of it's supposed to be at the stone of sapphire. It's got wheels on it because it moves, because we're supposed to carry it around the world. This was actually from some guy who actually put a recliner onto a go-kart.
Because it looks like, what are those recliners called?
Lazy boy?
Lazy boy.
It's a lazy boy with wheels. And that's the footrest part. That's what the Kisei HaKavod. Again, it's got two parts, Kisei, and it's got the Kisei part, which represents Hashem's manifestation in nature, and the footrest, which represents our actions, manifesting God's presence. And the Aron has Badim to carry it, because it's always mobile, because it's not supposed to stay inside the Mikdash, to go out. That's basically where we were. So now we're going to look at these blueprints. Bechtav miyad Hashem, written from the hand of God, alai haskiel, for me to understand. Because I'll say there was some actual scroll. This is the way Midrash Shlomo describes, Midrash on this describes this, handing over the blueprints for the Beit HaMikdash. Rabbi Yimriya b'shem Rabbi Shmuel, by Rabbi Yitzchak, Megillah Beit HaMikdash, scroll of the Beit HaMikdash. Shemasar Kadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe ba'Amida. Moshe, Hashem gave it to Moshe for the ceremony while they were standing. It was serious. As it says, Vatapo Amodi Madi. Hashem tells Moshe, you will stand with me as he's getting the Torah. Amad Moshe Masrul Yeshua ba'Amida. So Moshe gave it to Yeshua. Also with an Amida, was standing up. This is important. As it says, Karat Yeshua v'hityatzvu, that you should call Yeshua and you will stand together. Amad Yeshua Masrul Zekenim ba'Amida. So Yeshua gives it to the Zekenim. As it says, V'yasof Yeshua calls to Yisrael Shechema, that Yeshua brought all the Shvatim together to Shechem. V'yatzvu l'fnei Elokim. And they stood for God. Part of the same, this idea of standing. Amad Zekenim Masrul Nevi'im ba'Amida. And the Zekenim gave it to the next set of carriers of Masorah, the Nevi'im, which basically started with Shmuel. As it says, Bata Hityatzvu. You all will stand here, we'll transmit this Masorah. Amnu Nevi'im Masrul David. And the Nevi'im here, Shmuel gave it to David. Bamida, in the same kind of ceremony, the late Lake Kray. But there's no pasuk like that. We don't see where Shmuel gives David the instructions. Amad David Masrul Shlomo Beno Bamida, and then David gives it to Shlomo, again, the summary that we're talking about right here where David gets up. But it's... Can you hold on a second? I'm sorry, somebody at the door. Is that... Okay, but it wasn't a simple blueprint. Whatever it was, whatever we're looking at, it required Rukor HaKodesh, right? And it required Dreisha, the idea of Halayas getting into these human interpretations. Gemara Megillah says, Rabbi Yirmiyahu b'Shem Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Megillah Shemasa Shmuel David, this Megillat Beit HaMikdash, that Shmuel gave to David, needed to be interpreted. It wasn't a simple set of blueprints that says, this is what you're going to build. Matam, how do you know this? This says Hakol Bikhtav, everything was written down. Zu Masoreh, that was a tradition. Miyad Hashem, Zu Ruach HaKodesh. That still needed Ruach HaKodesh to understand it. Tell you how to build it. Lai Haskil, really for me to understand. Mikan Shenitli Hidarish. That's where she says that it needed Drasha. It still needed understanding in there. So I have to figure out what that means. Right now, when we say that Shmuel was this Navi, that was the Ruach HaKodesh behind the plan of the Beit HaMikdash, and we know that because Divrei Yom says explicitly that David and Shmuel planned all of this out. That's back in Paraktet. As it says, Hemi Asad David and Shmuel Haro'eh B'Menatam. That's what David and Shmuel worked together in planning out with the Beit HaMikdash. Now, Shmuel died long before the story, well before David's king. And in fact, David only meets Shmuel twice. First time is when Shmuel anoints him, where Shmuel doesn't really think he's going to be king at all and looks at all the rest of Yishai's sons, and Shmuel doesn't talk to him at all at that point. The second time, when David's on the run from Shaul. Right after he marries Michal, and Shaul is paranoid, wants to kill David, Michal lets him out the window, and he immediately runs to Shmuel. Shmuel was the Navi to Shaul, but he's since retired after he told Shaul that you can't be king anymore. And Shmuel has established his own little yeshiva, as it were, a place where he teaches Nevi'im. David Barach, by Malet, David ran and saved himself. By Bo Shmuel Haramat, it goes to Shmuel in Ramah. And David tells him everything that Shaul had done to him. And he and Shmuel went by Yeshvu b'Nayot, and they go to Nayot. What's Nayot? Mara says it was the place where they learned about the Beit HaMikdash. It was like the Machon HaMikdash now. There's no Beit HaMikdash. This is well before that. There's the Mishkan has been destroyed. That's where Shmuel is sitting and figuring out what is this Beit HaMikdash going to look like? What are they going to do? Where is it going to be? There's Rabbah.
Yeah, I know there's a neighborhood in Jerusalem called Nayot.
Okay. I mean, this wasn't in Yerushalayim. This was in Ramah.
Oh, okay.
Further north, this is in Binyamin. I'm sure it's the name is the same. It's from the sense of Naveh, meaning shelter. It's another word for the Beit HaMikdash. There's Rabbah. What does it mean that David and Shmuel went and they sat in Nayot, which was in Ramah? It's Ramah. What was this Nayot place? The city was Ramah. And they were dealing with the Noyah, which is both means the beauty of the world and the shelter of the world. Amri, as it says, that they were learning, they're okay, we're going to come to the place that God has chosen, what the place that God has chosen. And that's the point. That point is when Shmuel and David planned this out. That's when David said he's going to build the Beit HaMikdash, and this is what it's going to look like. This is where this Megillat Beit HaMikdash is transferred. It says about that. In the Medrash, David Barach, when it comes to Shmuel, Rav Huna, Rabbi Yossi Amar, Otoa Laila, that night, Shebarach David Milchnei Shaul, that David ran from Shaul, Lamad Mishmuel Hanavi, he learned from Shmuel, Mashain Tamid Vatik Lomei B'Meyashana, more than an experienced student could learn in 100 years. All the secrets of the Mikdash. So, what was this Megillat Beit Mikdash? A scroll that's handed from hand to hand. Was there some other document? It's not mentioned anywhere else. I don't know. And it's nalhidaresh, you know, it's medrash, which I think only applies to the words of the Torah. So I think that this Megillat Beit Mikdash is in fact the Torah, but the parts of the Torah that talk about building the Mikdash. That's the Megillat Mikdash. It's all the part we have half of Sefer Shemot is all about building the Mishkan. That's the part that's being transferred. And the way the Midrash describes is exactly that chain of Masorah, right? When it says, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, Masorah Yeshua, Yeshua's a Kenim, Zekim Nevi'im, that's exactly where the Midrash describes the Masorah for this Beit HaMikdash. So I think that, you know, what they're doing is explaining that what the Torah says is explains to you how you're supposed to build the Beit HaMikdash. We have all that described. Basically, it's the Mishkan with a roof on it. But that's a problem. Because the Beit HaMikdash doesn't look anything like the Mishkan. Everything was different. There were more stuff. It was bigger. It was all. And in fact, I found an interesting website by one of these kind of conspiracy-oriented Christian types who I won't say it directly, but it basically says that the reason why Shlomo's temple was destroyed is because he didn't follow the instructions. And he goes through all the ways that Solomon's temple was different from the original tabernacle. But it's a real question, right? Because it implies that the Mishkan should be exactly what the Beit HaMikdash is. That's the way it's described. Verse 30, this is part of that Melechat HaMishkan. Kechol asher ani mireh otcha, everything I show you, Eit Tavni HaMishkan, the form of the Mishkan, the Eit Tavni Kol Kelav, and the form of all the vessels in it, v'chein tasu, and so you shall do. And when it says v'chein tasu udoro, you'll do that for future generations. So do the same thing. You can't put anything in there that's not explicitly part of the plans. The interesting halacha is that you can't even put salt on the ramp to mizbeach to make it less slippery. You know, those rare times it snows in your shrine, you still can't salt it because that wasn't part of the original instructions. That's Gemara. Amar Leih Rav Acha, Rei Rav Rav Ashi. When it's talking about whether you can salt the ramp on Shabbos, the Hay Malach Hechidami, how can you possibly, what happens with the salt you've been putting on there? Eid Mevatlei, if it actually sticks to the ramp, becomes part of the ramp, Hamosif Binyan. And then you're adding to the actual structure of the Beit HaMikdash. And it says, HaKol B'Ketav Miyad Hashem. It's got to be as it was written. Right? That's what Rashi says. Mafil B'Chol Asur Lo Sif Al Mizbeach. You can't add more to the Mizbeach. Not even the salt. It says, called Bichtav Mi Hashem, Shabinyan Nimso David Aiden Neviim, that David had the exact instructions for building it. Shlo Asiflu, the gray you can't take away, you can't add to it. So why is the Beit Hamikdash, as described by in Sefer Melachim by Shlomo, the second Beit Hamikdash, as described in Ezra and Haggai, the second and a half Herod's temple, which we all have all the models of it, clearly nothing like the Mishkan. Where does that come from? And I think that's the implication where it says that there's Ruach HaKodesh, Miad Hashem, and there's Drasha involved as well. That the plans are not simply, don't just read what the Torah says and do that. There's both of this Ruach HaKodesh and the sort of human Drasha there. So the Chasam Sofer is bothered by this. There's got to be a balance between Masorah and Nivuah.
Between Masorah and what?
There's a balance, the Chasam Sofer says the balance between Masorah, as in with the tradition that was handed down, this is what's got to look like, and the Nivuah that Hashem says, no, you're going to do it this way.
Oh.
Okay? Both of those are there. And this is where the Chasam Sofer says. This is a tshuva that says, I've already mentioned some elsewhere. That I always had a trouble. All the different descriptions of what the Beit HaMikdash looks like. Arishon, first one is described in Malachim, Vasheni is described in Ezra and the Mishnah, Vashlishi, Gemar B'Yameinu, and the third, presumably that's the way Yechezkel describes the next Beit HaMikdash. One doesn't look like the other one. Same underlying structure, Kodesh, Kodesh Kodeshim, Chatzer, all that, but they all look very different. I keep saying that. It's all B'chtav Hashem. It's written down. Those are blueprints. And a Navi can't make any new halacha. How can the Navi say, no, you're going to do it differently? And they should have done it just like the Mishkan. Kota Sulu Doro. So Shema Marti, my answer is, Zezeu Perusha Pusuk B'Truma, when it says, K'chol Asher Ani Mare Otcha, everything that I show you, Kavnita Mishkan, but Tenimi Kol Kelav, the form of the Mishkan itself, the form of all the vessels in it, V'chein Tasu, and so you will do, and the Gemara says, V'chein Tasu Doro, that's what you do in all generations, it's not talking about the form is what you will do, it's saying that that's what you'll do. You'll wait for the Nevuah. Nevuah is going to tell you exactly how to build. In my humble opinion, that applies to what I show you. That's what you need. You need a Navi involved in building the Mikdash. That will always be at the hands of a Navi. Argument against building it today. That we should have some sense of Nevuah there. So since the Shem says from the beginning, that's part of the conditions of building Mikdash. It'll be according to the Nevuah that I give you. So that's not really a new halacha that a Navi comes up with. Navi, it's Lo Bashamayim, he and Navi can't have his own halachas, but that's part of the conditions of building the Beit Hamikdash, there has to be Nevuah there. So we need this Ruach HaKodesh, B'yad Hashem. It's the inherent part of building it. It's not just a scroll. And Rav Kook said something similar. B'ninei HaMizbeach, when you're talking about building the Mizbeach, B'ninei HaShu Adin Kol Inyinei Tavnit HaMikdash B'nyanau, that just anything has to do with building the Mikdash. U'masur L'Navi, Gam L'drosh V'menu, that a Navi can look and ask, that Hashem is going to be involved. We can ask what it's going to look like in Nevuah. The Niknas Klal that has nothing to do with a Klal Shel Eil Mitzvot. A Navi Rashai LaChadesh Devar Miata. It's not part. The Navi is not forbidden to do that. That's one halacha that a Navi is allowed to tell you. This is a new thing. Lo Klal B'Shemayim. It's still B'Shemayim. But building Mitzvah requires the active partnership between human beings and Akash Baruch Hu. Again, same thing as Yadecha, It's Maase Bnei Adam, Maase Hashem at the same time. And the other part of that is it says, Alai Haskil Mikansa Nitla Hidaresh, it acquires Drasha as well. There are parts that you're that Hashem's not going to tell you. You're going to look at it and try to figure it out. And we quoted the Medrash that David learned from Shmuel Masha Ein Talmid Vatik Lomeid Me'ashana, that an experienced student won't learn for 100 years. And the idea of a Talmid Vatik has a very specific meaning. Famous Midrash quoted many places from Bayek Rabba, Yishuv and Levi Omer, Mikra Mishneh Talmud, Bagada, that all the parts of what we call Torah Shebal Peh were given to Moshe. Afilu Masha Talmid Vatik Atid Lomar, even something that experienced student will say in the future, Lifnei Rabo, for Nemar L'Moshe B'Sinai, Moshe learned all of that. But whatever chidushim we come up with, they all came from Moshe. And everyone's kind of bothered that. I mean, if it came from Moshe, then what does it mean to say that Talmid Vatik is learning? Is there no such thing as chidush? We're not figuring this out. But Imak Dabar says, we are in what that means. Nitan koach l'kal Talmid Vatik l'chadesh halacha. That what Moshe got was the potential, the ability to learn Torah, to look at Torah and figure things out. Finish is still there. Al piya midot v'talmud, according to all the midot, the way we're supposed to learn Torah. That's what Talmid Vatik. So Shmuel and David sit there and figure out, they look at it, the way Gemara describes it, they're trying to figure out where is Beit HaMikdash supposed to be. Because Torah doesn't say anything about Yerushalayim. They figure out what it's going to look like. They're figuring out, they have what the Torah says, they have the Nevuah that Shmuel offers, and then they have the Chidushim, or the Talmid Vatik. And that's Alay Haskil. So everything in the Beit HaMikdash is a careful balance. Masorah, Ruach Kodesh, Drasha, Seichel, Alay Haskil. As the Torah says, when you're building the Mishkan, that everything is Kasher Tzivah Hashem Moshe. It's got to be carefully done that way, building that symbol of Shechina. So the imminence of God on earth, it's a very dangerous thing. So it's too easy for that to turn into Avodah Zarah. So David warned Shlomo, Chazak v'emetz. You need to be strong. This is not just building a building. It's got to mean something. So David continues. V'yomer David el Shlomo b'no, Chazak v'emetz. David tells Shlomo, be strong. Keep yourself strong, base, and then do it. Don't be afraid. Al tirab, al techa. Don't be afraid to do this. It has to be done, but you got to do it right. Yashem Elokim Elokei Amcha, God, God of the people, lo yarpacha, v'ezbecha, will not let you weaken, will not abandon you. Ad echlot, kol mlecha, v'vadat beit Hashem, until you finish. Have faith. And then he tells Avim, machakot ha-kohanim, v'alavim, and here is the whole organization of the hierarchy of the kohanim, levim, all the work that needs to be done, and you have everyone who can do the work, everyone who knows what they're doing, they're all here to serve you, and all the leaders of people, and the people and the leaders are there to make this happen, for all the work they need to do. And that's what David hands Shlomo. That's what it means to have the blueprints for the Beit HaMikdash. All those three parts together. And then I'll continue with a Perek HaTehillim that I think expresses what this the Beit HaMikdash is all about. And this is Tehillim Samach Aleph. And it starts out, L'Menatzeach al Niginat LeDavid. For the Menatzeach, the conductor, and it's about Niginat. It's not like Niginot on music. Niginah is a collective noun. The concept of having Niginah, of the concept of music. That is dedicating this parak to the idea that he can sing to Hashem. And the way the Sikta Rabati and Midrash says about this, Mao ad Niginah, what does it mean to say it's on Niginah, on this concept of the Niginah? La Netzachu is an eternal phrase. So who noten kilus b'fihem shel tzadikim? That God puts praise into the mouths of tzadikim, also, so that they can praise Hashem. Which is why Rav says in we quote this in our Modim Drabanan. We say Modim anachnu lach al shanachnu anu modim lach. We thank you, God, for the fact that we can thank you.
And we also ask God to help us pray.
That's right. That's what we start out with. And that's what he's saying. That's what Niginat is. I'm like, well, I am praising you, God, for the concept of Nigina. And that what article translates that, it's a Netzach. It's an Amaseach. Because God has granted me the privilege of praising him with songs, I now dedicate a Netzach, an eternal tune, to his benevolence. I think that the Brayta continues on, the Medrash continues on, with, it reads Netzach a little bit differently. What does Netzach mean? Not so much that it is eternal, it's, you know, it's the Netzach, an eternal tune, but it's Netzach l'misha Netzach shalom. Netzach in the sense of victory. I'm praising the one who is victorious. But I don't know what that means. So we'll give you another way of reading it. It's Netzach l'misha netena Netzach l'banav. It's to the Namnatzeach is the one who gives victory to Bnei Israel. And the Rechel, we're going to go a step further. What kind of victory does Bnei Israel have? The Rechel Lamnatzeach, it's Netzach Lemishim Bakesh Lehinatzeach, Yibyachol. Hashem is the one who grants victory to Bnei Israel so that Hashem can be vanquished. Hashem wants us to beat him. That's from
Hashem wants us to beat him.
What?
Hashem wants us to beat him.
Right. That's a famous story about the Tanu Shachnai.
About the
where Rabbi, like his name,
Rabbi
Elazar, asked for a sign, he got Bakol, and Rabbi Yossi says, no, we don't listen to Bakols. Lo b'shamayimi. We know the story.
Even though Rabbi Eliezer was right.
I don't know. Well, he was, by definition, he wasn't right. Right? The Chachamim have the right to make that decision.
In terms of understanding, he was...
In some ideal Platonic sense of what Ratzon Hashem was, yes, he was right. So, Ashkeche Rabbi Natan Le'Elio. After that story, Rabbi Natan sees Eliyahu HaNavi. You know, but going back and forth between heaven and earth, Amar Lei. And so Rabbi Natan asks Eliyahu, my Aved HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bahi Shaita. What does Hashem do? Rabbi Yossi says, we're not listening to the voice of God. Torah says, Achrebu Melatot, we decided, it's Tame, I don't care what the signs say. What does Hashem do at that moment? Amar Lei, and Eliyahu says, Kachayach Ba'amar, Hashem smiled and said, Nitzchuni Banai, Nitzchuni Banai, my children have defeated me. My children have defeated me. That's what it means. Hashem has given us that right to defeat him. Kibyachol, that's what it says. That human beings make those decisions. Hashem wants to be defeated by his own children when they use his rules to make the decision. So what Niginat is saying is a celebration that we have the privilege of participating in the divine songs, entire creation. That's what we're doing here. And Hashem has kind of made room for us in that whole experience, in the existence of the world. We have a little piece of the Kisei HaKavod, as we said before, in that metaphor. Part of what happens, part of the spectrum is in our making. So the parak continues. Shema Kol Elokim Rinati, God, listen to my parak. Shiva Tfilati, attend to my prayer. Ksea Aretz Elech, I come from the ends of the earth. Ekra Batef Libi, and I call out as my heart is enveloped. Tzura Yerumi Meni Techinati, and God will lift and will lift me on the rock, and it will pull my will lift my prayer, my supplication out of me. Rashi says that Mikseh Aretz means is when David is too old, it's the end of his life, he can't go into battle. Mikseh means he's at the other end of the earth from his people. Rashi says, Mikseh Aretz, end of the earth. Afal pish any ani rachok me anashai, even though I'm far from my men. They're out in battle. Janim Meshalech, I'm sending them out. I'm still praying for them. And that right now I can't fight. So now I'm at Tefli B, I'm enveloped in prayer. Rabuya Tfila, Bitsarad Nikra Atifa. That being surrounded by Tfila is called Atifa, being wrapped up. Which is where we get this halacha that Tfila needs Atifa. We symbolize that by wrapping ourselves in a talus. Or in something. This is the Shulchan Aruch. That you're supposed to eat a tef b'tzitzit, be'avarech momah. You should wrap yourself in the tzitzit. and start to feel it. And just a, for me, it's a side point. That atifa means being enclosed in clothes, the way people do. And however people normally dress. Whether it's covering your hair or head, covering your head or not. So, this according to the Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to cover your head for davening. But you really should cover. I usually don't. I'm not good at that. A lot of people will. And this is the Chazon Ish adds on that Shemisha Yishlo Me'il El Yon Aruch, if you have a jacket or something, that counts as atifa. It doesn't have to be a talis specifically, but it should have some sense of being wrapped up, of something covering you. That's the atifa. They have that sense that you're wrapped in prayer. Talit lav dav. It doesn't mean necessarily what we call a talis. It's any cloak. So that's David. He's praying. He's enwrapped in his prayer, and he continues in the parak. Because you were refuge for me. Migdal Oz Mipte Oyev, you were a powerful tower before the in front of the enemy. But Agura Baalecha Olami, so I want to dwell in your tent forever. And I will be sheltered under your wings forever. Now we have the Ohel now. And so now we're back to the idea of the Beit Midrash. I don't want to just be able to pray. I want to be able to pray in Hashem's Ohel. Because the Beit Midrash is fundamentally the praise for its tefillah. We know that from Shlomo's introductory tefillah, when he dedicates the Beit Midrash that's eventually built. And he has this long tefillah, and it's all about how everyone's going to pray in this building. For instance, Batser Shamayim, Limatar, if there's a drought, Yitbalu al Makomuzet, they will pray toward this place. It's not about Karbanot, that you can bring. If there's no big dutch, you can bring a carbon anywhere. This is a place that centers our prayers. And it's meant to be the prayer, place of prayers for the entire world. From there, we spread it to the whole world, as Yeshaya says, I'll bring them to my mountain, I'll bring them joy in my Beit Tefillah. That's what Beit Midrash is. My house will prepare for all the people. The Ikar of Avodah Hashem is not Kerbanot. It's Avodah Hashem B'Lev. It's Tefillah. So David's saying, I'm wrapped in my prayers. I should be in the Beit Midrash. That's what I want. And so he continues, Ki Ata Elokim Shamata L'Nedri. You, God, you heard my vow. I swore I was going to build the Beit Midrash. That's what I want. Tata Yerushat Yerei Shemecha, and you've given that as an inheritance to those who fear your name. That's my descendants. Yamim ayemei melech tosif. So please add years to the king, Shlomo, who's going to build this Beit Midrash. Natav k'modar b'dar. Let his years last through the generations. Yeshev olam with me'alkim and them sit before you forever. Chesed v'emet man yinatsruhu. And with the, that's a henditis. Chesed v'emet, true chesed, true mercy, you have prepared, that you have prepared, should guard him. And the chesed v'emet, according to Rashi, is not so much God's chesed, it's the king's chesed. The king, again, has to be doing chesed for this Beit Midrash to mean anything. The chesed v'emet, the guards him, shu'o sek b'hem, yumuzu anim l'natsho, that was what will protect him. It says a man meaning prepared.
Danny, can I just go back for a second?
Yeah.
When he's talking about adding years to the king, isn't
right.
That sort of saying that he's wanting that the king's way, meaning that the king's following Torah, that that's being increased, the time is being increased because the people are also following the Torah. That extends the, you know, the Ratzon of the king.
I assume that's implied in that, right? I think here he's specifically talking about the Melech himself. He doesn't mention everybody else, but that's part of what the Melech is supposed to be, is representative of the people.
Present the Shinotav Kamo Dor V'Dor.
Right. His years should be increased. You think kamod dor means similar to mean like all the generation. Like the whole generation needs to be doing the chesed v'emet. That's one of the
Yeah.
reasons. That works. Yeah. That his years should be increased and his like the as the generations that he's living through, that their years should be increased because they are all doing the chemis chesed v'emet that's protecting them. I like that. Okay. And this neder of David, we've looked at that before. He said that that's from the one of the Shir HaMaalot. Zechor Hashem with David kol anvato. Hashem, yes, Hashem remembered David's humility. Asher nishba Hashem nadar la bir Yaakov, that he swore to God, the powerful one of Yaakov, and he swore what? Imavo ba'ol beiti, that I will not rest until I will not go into my home. Maleh al eretz yitzui, I will not get into my bed. I will not sleep until I find this place for God, the Mishkan, the place of rest for Rabbi Yaakov. I will not rest until I get to this place. That's my neder. And so here he's saying that Hashem, Elokim Shamat Nedri, you heard my prayer, right? I'm about to build this Beit HaMikdash. That's wonderful. But he continues on our Perek to say that even if it's fulfilled, Beit HaMikdash is built, this is not the end. It's not a one-time thing. The neder keeps to continue. So, and it ends with, Ken Azamer Shimcha La'ad, so I will continue to praise you forever. L'shlomi nederi yom yom, and I'll continue to fulfill my neder every day. Not a matter of building the Beit HaMikdash being done, but now it's continuing that mission of that. As Sforno says, Nedri, to fulfill my neder, which is agur b'olecholim, stay in your tent forever. Shasif miyom liyom eze shevach gedolah, and every day I will praise you more and more. So that's what this lamaseach is. It's lesach mishmerakesh linatseach. Praising God who wishes to have human beings be participating in the creation of the world, and that's what the Beit Midrash is meant to symbolize, as our part in bringing God into the world. And we'll stop here. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Danny.
And we'll
Thank you.
Very powerful.